WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 9:02, we have mostly clear skies and a little sunshine here in the Nishna Valley and 8 degrees below zero, your current temperature. Good morning, I'm Chris Parks with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by First Whitney Bank and Trust, a home-owned, home-operated bank located at 3rd and Chestnut and 7th and Chestnut in Atlantic. Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brothers on Wednesday released a short list of recent arrests and incidents, most recently on Saturday, February 1st. 39-year-old Tabitha Louise Hamilton of Clarinda was arrested for vandalism and destruction of property. On January 26, 28-year-old Brandon Michael Morrison of Newmarket was arrested for OWI second offense. And on January 23rd, 46-year-old Roger Dale Shaban of Clarinda was arrested at the Meadow Run Apartments for violation of a no trespassing order. That same day, 28-year-old Megan Renee Warwick of Clarinda was arrested for OWI. The Clarinda police also investigated 5 incidents of vehicle vandalism, 3 reports of property theft, 2 domestic disturbance incidents, 1 assault, and a dog bite incident on the playground of the Garfield Elementary School. KJAN News Time is 9:03.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank. That's what keeps us in the lead. We take good care of you.
Sun, sand, and a taco stand. I transferred money and paid for our vacation to Cancun. Shopping, a movie theater, a night out with friends. I can check my balance from anywhere. There is connectivity and it's secure. Introducing the new First Whitney Bank mobile app. And it's free. Log into your First Whitney Bank internet banking and send the link for the app to your mobile device.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
First Whitney Bank is not responsible for data charges and free time gained.
In other news this morning, a judge has sentenced a former manager at one of the nation's largest grain cooperatives to 51 months in prison for accepting bribes from an Iowa farmer in exchange for deep discounts on products. U.S. District Judge Mark Bennett issued a sentence on Tuesday in Sioux City to former West Central Co-op sales manager Chad Hartzler. And Bennett ordered Hartzler to pay the Ralston-based cooperative $2.5 million in restitution. The 51-month term had been recommended under a plea agreement in which Hartzler pled guilty to a wire fraud last year. Hartzler has admitted to taking $480,000 in bribes from Lakeview farmer Bill Woolison starting in 2005. In exchange, Hartzler says he secretly gave Woolison discounts on crop seed and farm chemicals. Wilson hasn't been charged and denies the payments were bribes. A South Dakota judge has ordered an Iowa couple to pay more than $1 million over wool loan deficiency payments received for sheep they didn't own. The U.S. Attorney's Office says Howard Jack Aleph and Rena Slominski of Knoxville, Iowa, submitted 132 false claims for their business, L&J Wool & Fur. As a result, they got nearly $304,000 from the Farm Services Agency in Iowa and South Dakota. They earlier pleaded guilty to a criminal charge of conspiracy to defraud the United States and were sentenced to probation, fined $60,000, and ordered to repay that amount in restitution. U.S. District Judge Charles Kornman in Aberdeen has now entered an additional civil judgment of $1.38 million. A survey of residents in southwest Iowa and southeast Nebraska finds the region compares favorably with San Diego and some of the nation's other top places to live in terms of quality of life. Greg Yule, executive director of the Metro Area Planning Agency, says the survey was commissioned in preparation for Heartland 2050, a long-range development project, and found residents in the region love living there.
The people here really enjoy it. They have a high quality of life, quite a bit higher than the national averages. They feel pretty optimistic overall, again, much higher than national averages about the future.
The survey found 60% of those questioned believe the region is on the right track and well above the national average. There were still concerns, including things like the need for more quality jobs and retaining well-educated young adults.
The top two that really stood out was crime and taxes. And then we talked a little bit, too, about what are some potential solutions. And so there's a lot of interest in revitalization and reinvestment, not so much in growing outward. And they really think that we need to invest in our existing communities.
He says the consultant who organized the survey has a new view of the region.
Our quality of life here was as high as any as he'd ever seen it, and compared us with San Diego. So while it's cold right now, I don't think we think of ourselves like San Diego. He said the people really have something special here that they really appreciate.
Yule says the responses will be used as part of four future development scenarios, resulting in a plan for responsible growth in the region. The survey questioned residents in Harrison, Mills, and Pottawatomie counties in Iowa, and in Cass, Douglas, Sarpy, Saunders, and Washington counties in Nebraska. A district court judge has ordered the state to reopen the Iowa juvenile home, telling Governor Terry Branstad he cannot change laws enacted by the legislature, and pointedly telling the executive branch of the state government it cannot unilaterally decide which laws to obey and which laws it will not. Judge Scott Rosenberg ordered the state on Wednesday to reopen the home in Toledo and use funds from legislature approved to operate it. Branstad closed the facility in January following allegations that teens were improperly treated and denied a proper education. Four Democrats, two from the Senate and two from the House, sued Branstad to keep the home open. The 21 girls who had been living at the home now live elsewhere. The Democratic-controlled Iowa Senate has voted to approve legislation that would provide more than $200 million in additional school funding for the 2015-16 academic year, but the bills are unlikely to advance in the Republican-majority House. The Senate voted on Wednesday to approve three bills dealing with school funding. Funding for the 2014-15 school year has already been established. Under state law, the General Assembly is supposed to set funding for elementary and secondary education over a year in advance, though House Republicans have not always followed that rule in recent years. Republican House Speaker Craig Paulson from Hiawatha says he expects to take up funding for the 2015-16 school year in the next session. He says he wants to know more about tax revenues before making commitments. Taking a look here at world headlines here this hour, the stock market is recovering in early trading after slight losses the day before. The Labor Department said this morning that the number of people applying for unemployment benefits declined $20,000 last week to $331,000. That fall suggests that Americans are facing fewer layoffs and better job prospects. There's a temporary Russian ban on liquids and carry-on luggage, but some air travelers heading to the Sochi Olympics through Moscow have brought toothpaste and other toiletries past security checkpoints without any problems. There are renewed security concerns after the U.S. Department of Homeland Security warned airlines flying to Russia that terrorists might try to smuggle explosives into the country in toothpaste tubes. State-run Syrian TV says an agreement has been reached to evacuate civilians from besieged parts of the central city of Homs. The TV quotes the local governor as saying the deal was reached within the United Nations to evacuate the civilians very soon. Rebels who have held ancient parts of the city known as Old Homs have been besieged by government forces for more than a year. President Barack Obama has told a non-denominational gathering of political leaders that freedom of religion across the world is important to national security and is a central tenet of U.S. diplomacy. Obama says that message is not always easy to deliver. He says he has told leaders in China, Burma, and Nigeria that they must do more to respect human rights, particularly religious freedom. Obama spoke to the National Prayer Breakfast, a decades-old Washington tradition. Police say they have recovered a violin that could be the rare Stradivarius stolen from a concertmaster following a performance last month in a Milwaukee college. They say experts will be contacted to confirm the authenticity of the violin. Authorities are holding three suspects in the January 27 theft of the historic violin, crafted in 1715, and appraised for insurance purposes at $5 million. KJAN News Time is 9:11.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank. That's what keeps us in the lead. We take good care of you. First rate full service and the style you're sure to like.
You know where our strength lies at First Whitney Bank and Trust in downtown Atlantic? People. Dedicated, experienced, and professional. People committed to giving you the best in the banking service. People committed to the well-being of our community. Where does our strength lie? Product. Modern full-service banking with all the resources you'll ever need. People and product you can depend on. That's where our strength lies. Bank with us. We're your First Whitney Bank and Trust at 3rd and Chestnut in downtown Atlantic and a drive-in bank at 7th and Chestnut. Member FDIC.
Now taking a look at your funeral announcements here on this Thursday, February 6, 2014, here on KJN. Al Ricks, age 78 of Manning, died Saturday at the Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Al Ricks will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie's Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Dick Olson, age 78 of Elkhorn, has died. Funeral services for Dick Olson will be held today at 11 a.m. at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton has arrangements. Beulah J. Lucas, age 100 of Des Moines and formerly of Audubon, died Saturday at the Wesley Acres in Des Moines. Celebration of Life Memorial Service for Beulah Lucas will be held today, 1:30 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Violet Dinkla, age 76 of Glenwood and formerly of Messina, died Monday at the Hospice with Heart in Glenwood. Funeral services for Violet Dinkla will be held today at 2 p.m. at the First Lutheran Church south of Wyota. Steen Funeral Home in Messina has the arrangements. Velma Lucille Fell, aged 89 of Avoca, died Saturday at the Avoca Nursing and Rehab Center. Funeral services for Velma Fell will be held on Friday at 10:30 a.m. at the First Presbyterian Church in Walnut. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. Helen Margaret Smith, age 90 of Atlantic, died Monday at home. The family of Helen Smith would like to invite everyone for lunch at the Faith Lutheran Church in Griswold on Friday at 11 a.m. This will be followed by the funeral service at 1 p.m. at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Ruth Wright, age 93 of Mission, Kansas, and formerly of the Messina area, died Sunday in Overland Park, Kansas. Funeral services for Ruth Wright will be held on Friday at 11:30 a.m. at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. Joshua Allen Fritz, age 31 of Oakland, died Saturday from injuries sustained in an automobile accident west of Carson. Funeral services for Joshua Fritz will be held Saturday at 10:30 a.m. at the St. Paul Lutheran Church in Oakland. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Jim Hensley, age 64 of Messina, died Tuesday at the Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. A funeral mass for Jim Hensley will be held Saturday, 10:30 a.m. at the St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Messina. Steen Funeral Home Messina has arrangements. Elaine Ranke, age 90 of Manning, died Monday at the Manning Plaza Nursing Home. Funeral services for Elaine Ranke will be held on Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has the arrangements. Bruno Behrens, age 102 of Atlantic, died Saturday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Bruno Behrens will be held Saturday at 11:30 a.m. at the First Evangelical Lutheran Church south of Wyota. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Robert Lewis Allen, age 85 of Walnut, died January 30th at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Robert Allen will be held Saturday at 1 p.m. at the Peace United Church of Christ in Walnut. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Grace Hansen, age 91, a resident of Caring Acres in Anita, died Sunday. Funeral services for Grace Hansen will be held Monday at 10:30 a.m. at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Fern Smith, age 99, of Greenfield, died Tuesday at the Greenfield Manor in Greenfield. Funeral services for Fern Smith will be held Monday, 2 p.m. at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. And Leonora Jones, age 92 of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center. No services are planned for Leonora Jones. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. That's a look at your latest news and funeral announcements this 9 o'clock hour on KJN. News brought to you by First Whitney Bank and Trust, a home-owned, home-operated bank located at 3rd and Chestnut and 7th and Chestnut in Atlantic.